Welcome in. Welcome back in to the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Allo Communications studios. What a game last night. It was actually a pretty good game. The Raiders go up 17-0 over the Chiefs, and then the Chiefs do what they do, man. They're like, the Chiefs really remind me of like the Golden State Warriors. They're the NFL version of the Golden State Warriors. I don't care how far ahead you are with the weapons that they have and Patrick Mahomes, this Chiefs team is hard to count out. And so even up 17-0, I'm thinking, this thing is far from over. And it was. Chiefs ended up winning this thing 30-29. Angel, let's do this. Let's get to today in the National Football League. Stemming from that game, coming off of that game, Las Vegas Raiders wide receiver Devontae Adams shoved a credentialed person on the field carrying equipment in the aftermath of Monday's loss. He issued an apology pretty much later, like right in that press conference, like that night, last night. He said, "I want to apologize to the guy. There was some guy running off the field and he ran, like jumped in front of me coming off the field and I bumped into him. Kind of pushed him and he ended up on the ground." Adams said at his locker, "So I wanted to say sorry to him for that because that was frustration mixed with him literally just running in front of me. I shouldn't have responded that way, but that's how I initially responded. So I want to apologize to him for that." The man was a freelancer working for ESPN's Monday Night Football crew. He filed a report to the Kansas City police who said they will investigate the incident. I mean, I can investigate it for you. I just watched the video. The man was transported to a hospital, according to police, and was treated for injuries that they said were non-life-threatening. I mean, was that a question? Were we worried that they were life-threatening?
Concerned, did he go through the concussion protocol?
I don't know. Like, he should be.
That's my immediate concern.
The NFL is going to investigate this. Is he pressing charges?
Possibly. I think, and I read it the news this morning about filing the police report. I believe assault was mentioned. So this is now the second time we've seen a fan or player interacting with someone that's not a player now getting filed for police charges.
I mean, he was in his way. I'm watching it over and over again. Here he is.
It looks like he was trying to get to the other side.
So he wasn't even really in his way.
And it doesn't look like he was paying attention either. He's kind of just holding his camera stick and just moving in that direction. And
is he justified if he does press charges? Is this okay? I was listening to Good Morning NoCo, and I know Tanner's like, "I'd give him the old 1-2-6-9er, and I'd punch his lights out." Then you'd be fired, bro. You just lost your job. Maybe your dream job in the NFL. Pushed him down to the ground. He wasn't doing anything. It literally looks like he's crossing the walkway, and here comes a receiver just out of nowhere and pushes him down to the ground. Would I have pressed charges? No. Should he? Are we mad at him for pressing charges? No. Totally within his right to do that. Here comes this receiver who I like, Devontae Adams. He seems like he's a pretty good dude. It's very uncharacteristic. But don't apologize to the cameras by your locker room. Find the man and then apologize.
At least help him up.
Slammed him into the ground. I'm watching. Again, it's a full-force push, and that guy has no way to brace himself. He's holding equipment. They're trying to clean up, probably, because they were covering your game. And again, some had thought maybe he was trying to get a picture of him. So what if he was? That's what we pay for.
Don't you love those dramatic shots of a football player that's up close? You can see their emotion.
That's what makes this game so big. Baseball cards and football cards. Who captures those photos? Personally, I wouldn't have pressed charges. And also Devontae Adams, personally, I wouldn't have apologized to the cameras. I would have found that guy and then apologized to the cameras. I don't have an issue with him pressing charges. If that's what happens of this. Now, again, it's not my style.
I think if this was like an accidental, like you see it all the time in games, like players runs out of bounds and they just run over a cheerleader or a camera person, whoever. and they usually help them right back up.
Yep.
Oh, sorry, didn't mean to. And that's part of it. That's the risk you're playing when you're on the sidelines. But for Devontae, like, I get it, the emotion. You just lost a close game.
You just shoved a dude.
You're frustrated, and you just... You can't do that.
No. It'd be one thing, like, remember Carl Durrell? The camera guy was in front of him, and he just kind of did a little pacha, like stiff arm. That's like, dude, okay, cameraman, you're irritating and whatever. He pushed you. You got a good shot out of it. Let's let bygones move on. This guy's trying to cross the walkway, and Devontae Adams just loads up, full-on push. The guy goes down to the ground. Now, it's weird, though. It's like he had non-life-threatening injuries. What, did the camera fall on his head? I don't know. Maybe it did.
Cameras are expensive.
They are expensive. That's the thing. Like
oh, we
said,
don't know. Did he break his camera?
He might have.
Maybe that's why he's trying to get a settlement. He needs a new camera.
I mean, you can apologize, and I'm glad he apologized, but don't say sorry to me. Say sorry to him. Don't say sorry to these cameras and people watching. And I know that's not your character, and you're better than that. I know you are. But I'm again, just there's no excuse for it. It's embarrassing. He's embarrassed. Shoved down in front of all those fans. He has to be helped up. That sucks, dude. And again, I'm not saying that if your response is to get up and say, what the hell, man? What are you doing? That's fine, too. But if you want to go the old 1-2 rounds, get ready to lose your job because Devontae Adams ain't losing his. All right, let's look at the rankings according to ESPN in the NFL. Number one in the league, according to ESPN, is the Kansas City Chiefs. They are the best team in football.
A little surprised.
Sitting at 4-1. Next is the Bills. So Sunday afternoon, we got the top number one team and the number two team going at it. Then it's the undefeated team. Jalen Hurts does not want you to say they're 5-0. He doesn't like that. He doesn't like that term. Stop saying it. Speaking it into existence. Fear of, what is it? What is it in Harry Potter, Angel? Fear of a name is just giving it fear of itself? I don't know.
Something
Harry Pottery. Minnesota is fourth? Do I buy that?
I think that's a case of, there's a lot of other bad teams.
They're 4-1, so, all right. Dallas is fifth. Who would have said the Dallas Cowboys are the fifth best team in the league after watching them against Tampa Bay to start the season? Then it's San Francisco. The team the Broncos beat that, oh, they're not good. That's not a real win. They're the sixth, according to ESPN, they're the sixth best team in the league. Baltimore's next. They have to learn how to finish, which I guess they kind of did. Green Bay, Tampa Bay, Chargers, Giants, Dolphins are sitting at 12. Didn't drop too much.
That's honestly shocking.
I guess they dropped from 5 to 12, but they're still relatively close
to
the top 10.
Still in the top half. I'll take it.
Rams at 13, which I feel like they should be. They're going to be dropping like crazy, man. Something's wrong there. Something's wrong. They're top heavy. Cincinnati 14. Tennessee 15. Jets are 16. They're middle of the pack. That's like a Super Bowl for the Jets. We are the middle of the pack. Saints, Browns, Patriots, Seahawks, Cardinals, Jaguars, and at 23, the Denver Broncos.
You're not last.
You're not last. That's extremely encouraging. Falcons are behind you. Colts are behind you.
How does that make sense?
I don't know.
Didn't they
lose They beat
to the
us
Colts?
At home. They beat us in Denver. I don't. Then it's Vegas. The team that just took Kansas City lost by 1 point is the 26th worst team in the NFL. Chicago, Houston, Pittsburgh, Detroit, the Commanders, and the worst team in the NFL does not have a coach. The Carolina Panthers. Wow. Crazy time. Baker Mayfield's doing nothing. He's out for like 6 weeks now. 15 minutes after the hour. That'll do it. That was today in the NFL. It is Top Text Tuesday. Get the text in. B-Rad's trying to win number 50, and I got tons of texts rolling in. The Weld County Swami, the video of Devontae Adams is a physical representation of me taking out B-Rad in Top Text Tuesday. Ouch, Mysterio. It's not the camera guy's fault. You ran into your own player. to blow the game. Yes, exactly right. What was that play call? Hey, everybody, do the old run into each other, and maybe they'll think it wasn't us.
The analytics say that defenses won't guard you if your teammate's guarding you.
It takes
away a defender.
Yes.
So you put two guys on one side, the safety rolls over there.
Yes.
You got man-to-man on the other side. It's a brilliant strategy.
It's called confuserization, and Josh McDaniels thought he was using it well, but it just didn't work out. Next time he'll get it. Dixon, I think the camera guy was going to... I think Adams thought the camera guy was going to tackle him like Renfro did. Funniest part is I'm actually reading it like a serious text. And then I'm like, that's good. Oh, boy. Three in a row on that. Three in a row. Good job, Hooligans. I'm proud of you. 16 minutes after the hour. Let's take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Load up the text. You're making it difficult. It's going to be a difficult decision today, Angel. Who's going to win the $15 gift certificate from Cables? Or is B-Rad going to win 50? We'll be right back.
The UNC Bears play on Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Kelly Lyle with the Fort Collins Colorado and your CSU Insider on the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. No limit collectibles. That's what I'm saying. Like these camera people that are on the field trying to capture these crazy shots and they get in front of these monsters of men out there. They work hard to bring you cool looking pictures. Whether that's put on your baseball cards, your football cards, your sports memorabilia, your signed stuff. I mean, I love it. At No Limit Collectibles, you can get all of that. They have great opportunities to go buy, sell, and trade. Events that they hold where you can stop by for pizza and free soda and all that stuff. And just check out what other people have as far as their collection and see if it might make sense for you. That's No Limit Collectibles in West Greeley in the same building, the same area as Cables Pub and Grill. Two of our fantastic sponsors right by each other. So do me a favor. It's the whole show special. Stop by and... grab something to eat from Cables Pub and Grill. It was Burger Madness today, too. It's perfect. And then pop over to No Limit Collectibles. 22 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour, our Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Are analytics ruining the NFL? And, you know, again, just based off some of these discussions we've had about Nathaniel Hackett and last night what we saw with Josh McDaniels and Staley for the Chargers, just outthinking ourselves here. There's just too much of this, you know, oh, well, the analytics say that if you get a touchdown here, you're gonna win the game here. I mean, you can do that the whole game. It's just bizarre to me. Tom texting in, they've already ruined baseball, and now they have their sights set on football. And baseball is more like, I mean, I'm not saying that analytics is great for baseball, but it's not as obvious to me as it is in football. Football is like it comes down to key decisions. Like there's just key decisions that, well, the analytics said to go for it here. Yeah, the analytics said to kick a 65-yarder here once we get to the 46 left hash or whatever. Once we get there, the analytics said to do that. Are you sure this isn't like a bot? Like a Russian bot?
Where do
bot?
These numbers come from? Where is the computer?
Yeah, who's entering?
Who has access to it?
These probabilities. They're going, oh, well, based on 8 million football games over the last 100 years or whatever, this is what has happened. So it's a 60% chance of this. It's outrageous. Now, trust me, I loved the movie Moneyball. And I like the idea of saying, get guys that can get on base. You know, just doesn't matter if they score, if they hit home runs. Just guys that can get on base. We just have to have guys on base. Like all that kind of stuff, I dig it. I do. I also dig the scouts that are kind of represented as jerks in that movie. There is a gut feel, too. I think there's a mix. I think there's analytics, and I think there's gut feel. Football, a lot of these decisions that I'm talking about just feels like gut feel. Instead, it's all these deep thinking analytics. I mean, they're out smarting themselves here. Texter here. I know this. Oh, Dixon, it might sound like a homer take. Okay, I haven't read this one. It's an older one. But I think it's pretty clear since Mahomes has come into the league that teams are going to go for the kill shot if they have a chance at the end of the game. He just makes it seem like you don't really want to go toe-to-toe with him down the stretch. If you get a chance to put your foot on his throat, you kind of have to take the shot. See, and I'm the opposite of that. I feel like if you go for two and you get it, you're up one, you just pissed him off.
Like you just, either way, Patrick's getting the ball back, you're going to have to stop him.
Yes.
Whether you're up two or you're down one.
Yes. You're going to have to stop. And they did. They did. They got an opportunity. But again, what I'm is the game played differently by Kansas City if they're tied? If they're down? You know, if they're tied, you might get Kansas City saying, we don't want to go to overtime. We want to get this thing done. Let's go get this thing done. Let's press a little bit here. Maybe a mistake happens. I don't know. But then they're up by one. They're kind of thinking, just got to get first downs. I just think the game is played differently in those situations. And I'm kind of the opposite, Dixon, and I'm not taking anything away from Mahomes. I'm actually giving him more credit. I think if you go up one, you go for two and you get it, and you go up one, I actually look at it and go, Mahomes is pissed now. This offense is going to come out firing, and he's going to go have himself a late game W.
Yeah, and you talked about, you know, momentum, and in the NFL, momentum in a football game can be so obvious at times.
Yes.
You can feel the energy in the stadium just dissipate, or you feel the crowd getting into the game. They're one play away from just going crazy. And these analytical decisions that you're making are completely changing the momentum. Yeah, if you kick a field goal there, you go up by one or two, you have some momentum. You get stopped on a two-point conversion. Chiefs get the ball back. They have nothing to lose at that point.
Yeah,
you're putting momentum against yourself.
Yeah, and I feel like not getting that 2-point conversion slowed down because the Raiders were moving. They were getting down there. They obviously got in the touchdown. You go for it, don't get it. It zaps everything. It's like, oh, we're going to tie the game. We're going to tie this freaking game with 4 minutes left. Oh, we're going for two. That's exciting. Oh, we didn't get it. Oh, now we have to stop Kansas City. Now, not only do we have to stop Kansas City, we have to get in field goal range. So, at least he had in the back pocket, you know, a tie game or whatever, or go to overtime, excuse me. If Kelce would have scored two more touchdowns last night, he would have tied the Broncos season total. Ah, that's mean. OG, thanks. Only took 30 years to notice. Oh. B-Rad sending in this story from the Denver Post. Owner Dick Monfort declares Rockies 4-year playoff drought not acceptable. In letter to the fans. I haven't even read this yet.
We read it this morning on Good Morning NoCo.
Anything good?
It was, Tanner described it kind of like Darrell's, or not, George.
Rick George.
Yeah, his statement about CU, kind of like, yeah, we recognize we're bad, but hey, look at all of our young prospects coming up, and oh, we're playing the Angels and the Yankees at home next year. That's going to be fun.
You know, Angel, though, it could have been worse. He could have come out and said, the 4-year playoff drought is acceptable. So at least he's saying it's not acceptable.
Could always get worse for the Rockies.
You know, guys, because I mean, I wouldn't put it past Dick Monfort to come out and say, you know what, actually, guys, this is acceptable. This is actually okay.
You know what? Everyone's getting a 2-year extension.
Yeah, because we tried. We were half a game away from getting the over.
You remember April? You were doing so good.
Yeah, you're coming at me on that? Atlanta's making it interesting. Did they just get two runs there, Angel? 7-3. They got a runner on second, one out.
Bases clearing double there.
Whoa! Bottom of the fifth. Plenty of time. Place your bets now. Plenty of time if you're a Braves fan. All right, let's see if we can connect with Kyle Fredrickson. The Avalanche start their season tomorrow night. Can they repeat? Can they do it? We'll talk to Kyle next. First, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Miles Blumhardt, sports editor at the Fort Collins Coloradoan, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
34 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. So much happening in the sports world. We've got this kind of interesting game going on now between Philadelphia and Atlanta. We've got so much football to talk about, basketball, and look at this. Like I said, sports fans in Colorado, the rich just get richer. Colorado Avalanche starting up their season tomorrow night. Susan and Cheryl love that. The live studio audience here on to talk with us about that game tomorrow and look at the season ahead. Kyle Fredrickson, Colorado Avalanche beat writer at the Denver Gazette. Kyle, my man, we're almost there. It didn't sneak up on you, but I think a lot of people are like, whoa, we're already here. It's go time.
Yeah, didn't this team just win the cup?
like yesterday.
Sure that happened, right. But no, it's hey, baby, it's hockey season all year round in Colorado when you got a team this good.
And you're right. It does seem like it was just yesterday. It was such a, you know, it was a short time because they won it in such a, you know, fairly quick fashion. But at the same time, it felt like forever. We just couldn't wait to see this Avs team finally get over that hump, win that third cup. Let me ask you this, Kyle, going into it. Is this a fear that hockey teams have? I suppose basketball teams could have. You go such a long way through the playoffs. You go all the way through. Is there a concern that first month, hey, we want to try to ease guys in. You know, we don't want to overdo it right off the bat. Or do hockey coaches think like that?
Yeah, it's a valid question for sure, just being that the Avalanche really didn't have all that much time off the ice. I think, you know, the good news is that for the modern athlete, they really don't need much of a break, right? I mean, a lot of these guys said that, you know, having 2 or 3 weeks to totally get away from hockey, do nothing but hang out with family, that was enough. And if anything, getting back on the ice and being there for training camp, most everybody was in shape. But I will say there is a little bit of hangover in terms of just a couple of injuries on the team. You know, going into opening night on Wednesday, the Avs are going to be without two of their top forwards. One that everyone knows, Gabe Landeskog, the captain. His timeline's still pretty much unknown when he's going to be back on the ice. And then Darren Helm is another forward, a guy who was part of that bottom six, who is also injured. But they expect him to be back a little bit quicker. So those are two of the main guys who, you know, just based on how long the year went last season, nursing some of those, you know, bumps and bruises. But for the most part, this is a team that pretty much has its entire core back. It's healthy. And, you know, to your point, they really haven't had a lot of time off the ice. So if anything, you know, we might see the chemistry be there from day one.
Kyle Fredrickson joining us. He's our Colorado Avalanche insider from the Denver Gazette. What are some of the concerns? Obviously, you outlined those and maybe some injuries kind of coming into it. But anything that sticks out to you? Obviously, the goalie position. We've got a change there with Georgiev. But what else are you looking at? I mean, are you looking at the goalie position as a concern? What are some of the negatives, perhaps, that you're taking with you, Kyle, as you start the season out for the Avs?
Yeah, you know, I think there's a reason why the Avs are favored to win again. It's a hard thing to do. Only 8 franchises in NHL history have actually won consecutive cups. But if you're looking to, you know, maybe see where there might be cracks in this team, I look 2 places. And first, you know, to your point, it's got to be the goaltender situation. I think there's a lot of faith within the organization that Alexander Georgiev could be a true number one in this league. And even if he's not, they feel pretty good about having a tandem of Georgiev and Francouz, but it's a really big unknown, mostly just being that Georgiev is a guy who's never had this opportunity to be the starter. It's what he's always wanted. When he was in New York, he was playing behind one of the league's very best in Shesterkin, but now he's here, and now he has this chance. So I don't know that there's a whole lot of concern that he's not going to be the guy, but it's certainly an unknown. And, you know, if we look across the roster, for other question marks, I mean, I'm just going to pass over the defense. The Avs have the best defensive core in the league, and it's not even close, topped by Cale Makar and Devin Toews. But there are some questions surrounding the forward group. It's obviously top-heavy with a lot of the talent the Avs have, but losing guys like Nazem Kadri, Andrei Burakovsky, you know, these were high-scoring guys who played on those second and third lines. You know, who's ready to step up to fill those roles? Alex Newhook's a guy that everyone's really excited about this year and taking a step, being a young kid who's finally maturing into a real NHL body. Evan Rodriguez is a guy they traded for in the offseason from the Penguins. He's going to slot in there. So I think more or less there's just intrigue about how everyone's going to fit. as opposed to the Avs not having enough of top quality guys to be a contender again. So, you know, if you are nitpicking, those are two areas. But on the whole, I mean, the Avs should be in a position to score 100 team points and win the division again this year, you know, barring good health.
And isn't that kind of where we are, too, with this team? Is you kind of have to nitpick. I mean, if you want to make for good sports talk, you got to nitpick, right? Because that's how good this team really is. And they're so deep that you can lose a guy like Kadri, as you mentioned, and still feel like, yeah, but we're so deep everywhere else. And even with the goalie situation, if you wanted to nitpick there, like you said, it's not like their goalie situation was the best in hockey last year either. They were just so good at everything.
Right. And, you know, and to sort of your point, we did talk to Jared Bednar after practice today. You know, this is the last full day before the Avs get going in the regular season. And I think someone posed it, the idea of, all right, well, you know, give us, you know, your take on how training camp went. Do you know, do you like where the team is sitting at this point? And I think Bednar's answer was something like, I don't mind it. You know, he's like, it's all right. You know, obviously this is a championship team, but I like that answer from Jared because it tells the media, it tells his players that, listen, we're not a finished product. Last year is over. It has nothing to do with this year. You know, let's see what this group can do. And I think when you have that mentality after you win a cup, that's got to make you feel good because instead of sort of basking in your glory, you're already kind of looking ahead and trying to be the aggressor as opposed to just having that target on your back. But, yeah, let's sort of see how this team gels over the first couple months. You know, I want to see how Gorgiev fits, you know, with this defense and learning the schemes before we make wholesale judgments just about how good he is, because I think we'll see a good mix of Francois and Gorgiev early on. But other than that, you know, I think this team is loaded and ready to put on a show just like last year.
Kyle Fredrickson joining us from the Denver Gazette. Kyle, what kind of pressure is there on the Avs? I mean, when you look at the great players that they do have locked up, of course, the Nathan McKinnons, the Cale Makars, you look at this not as, hey, that was not just a flash in the pan. I think all the projections, you know, have this team, a lot of insiders or whatever, have the Avs favored to repeat. We're talking bigger stuff than that, though. We're talking dynasty and all that. So what kind of pressure is there on those team leaders and on Bednar to know, hey, we could be a big-time dynasty in this state?
Sure, yeah. I mean, I think to some degree, you know, they put that pressure on themselves by being so good, and that's where every team wants to be. But looking at just the future of this team and using that word dynasty, you know, let's watch them play some games first before we talk up that talk fully. But it's certainly in that championship window. You know, anytime you have a Cale Makar and a Nathan McKinnon locked up for the next, you know, 5 to 9 years, essentially, between those two guys, that's a huge window of having two of the top five very best players in the league, regardless of position, on your team. So if you want to start there, you know, that's the reason why all these prognosticators are saying, you know, maybe not just one championship. Can they string together, you know, several over the course of a few years? And in terms of pressure, you know, I think if things go wrong for the Avalanche, it's a lot of that's going to fall on Jared Bednar. You know, why can't you get this roster in a position where you're going to compete? But, you know, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. I think more than anything, the Avs welcome that pressure. They, you know, they want to be the team that everyone circles on their schedule. And if you look at, you know, all the professional sports teams in town and all the college teams in town, you know, there's no team that really commands that sort of respect that the Avs do right now. And I think they're enjoying it.
No question. Start the season off tomorrow night, Kyle, against Chicago. I can't wait. I'm glad we're here. We finally get an opportunity to see this Avs team. Like you said, though, to start the segment, it feels like just yesterday. So we'll see if there's some rust that needs to be shaken off a bit throughout this next week or so.
Yeah, and it's going to be a fun night, Wednesday night. You know, championship banner, first game starting this new season. You know, I just love the fact that Denver and Colorado is embracing this team and people are excited, you know, especially at a time when the Broncos just keep laying down stinkers. So I'll gladly be focusing on hockey for the rest of the fall if that works for you.
Hey, Kyle, since we have you, that's a good point. You know, as far as fan involvement, fans getting excited, what is the latest from your vantage point on Altitude and Comcast and Dish Network and everything? What's the latest there? What do we know?
Yeah, so I had a story in the Denver Gazette that posted yesterday in today's paper, and essentially is just preparing fans that, you know, a fourth consecutive season, is about to be lost for viewers who subscribe to Comcast who want to watch these games. And that's based on court documents, on conversations I've had with people from Altitude and Comcast. It's really at a standstill. And, of course, there are other options to watch this team. I mean, you can do DirecTV streaming. There's Fubo. There's Ivaka. A whole lot of different options. But the problem is that Comcast has such a dominant market share of the people who watch TV in this state. A lot of times, you know, it's a multi-year agreement. You're bundling your TV and your internet. It doesn't make sense to be, you know, choosing different providers for different things. You know, it's expensive to be a fan. So at this point, you know, Altitude remains on the offensive that, you know, Comcast is unfair in the terms that they've offered them. And that might be true, but at the same point, you know, the RSN world, this regional sports network world, it's crumbling. You know, whether it's the independent guys like Altitude, the big boys like Sinclair, who own Bally Sports and other networks, no one is figuring out a way to make money with this right now. And Comcast has its leverage to basically do what it wants, as, you know, basically with one of the biggest corporations in the world. So, you know, asking them to not be aggressive and trying to monopolize their market, that's not reasonable. Comcast is going to do what it does. Here's what I'm interested in, and for listeners, you know, why does Stan Kroenke want to be in the RSN game at all? I think that's the question we ask ourselves now. You know, of course, Altitude has great programming, and they have good talent over there, great people, and I would hate for them to lose their jobs. But at what point do they dissolve the network or sell the network and say, listen, we are going to do what it takes to get these on TV? Because at this point, just dealing with Comcast one-on-one and this antitrust lawsuit that's going on behind the scenes as well, there's just no easy early fix. So unless Stan Kroenke is ready to pull out and decide that he doesn't want to be in this game of distributing, you know, the rights to Comcast and DirecTV and all these big boys, I just don't see much changing. So, you know, strap in or get a new provider, because at this point I don't think we'll be watching games on Comcast anytime soon.
Kyle, what would be the alternative if that were to happen, if the Kroenkes were like, yeah, you know what, we just can't fight this toe-to-toe anymore? What would that look like for an Avs Nuggets TV provider type deal?
So it could be a number of things. I think Kroenke could say, okay, let's just reconfigure this thing. We're going to lay off half of our staff. We're going to only bring you guys live streaming games. We're going to cut back on our studio shows and make it economical, you know, because they could have a product they put out there for $20, $30 a month, but they have to make that work for their business model where they're also making money. You know, are there enough Avalanche fans out there and Nuggets fans who are willing to do that? To me, that seems like a less likely option. The more likely option would be for Kroenke to say, all right, does AT&T Sportsnet, which carries the Rockies and the Golden Knights and several other teams, would they just want to take in these guys? I mean, they already have a footprint in Colorado. Maybe games just end up getting broadcast on that network or another RSN moves in. You know, it could be just something that's renamed and, you know, Altitude is gone and there's another setup of broadcasting games. So there are options out there, but they all involve, you know, pretty big decisions from Stan Kroenke. And for him, you know, he's playing the long game. Altitude might be losing money now, but when streaming becomes viable and these networks figure out how to monetize it properly, if he's holding on to those rights, all of a sudden, you know, he might be in for a cash boon. And, you know, above all else, Stan Kroenke is a businessman. You know, Altitude wants to talk about caring about fans, and I'm sure that they do. But the guy who's in charge, let's be honest, he's worried about his bottom line. And, you know, you could just ask St. Louis Rams football fans about that in St. Louis, about how much Stan Kroenke actually cares about the people who are, you know, coming to games. So it's sort of a long-winded answer, but, you know, for someone, I've covered this since 2019, and it's very fascinating to me. And I think in the next few weeks, there might be some more news coming out about, you know, what Altitude is doing to get its product out there. But I don't expect it to be tied to Comcast. They're doing their best, but at this point, it's at a standstill.
Yeah, I love that response too, and your take on this. I've been following along your coverage as well. Hey, all I'm going to say as we wrap up, I'm glad I have DirecTV. For now, I'm glad I have DirecTV.
Well, you're good, man. I'm glad you're still watching it. Must be TV. I mean, this is an Avalanche team that's as good as it's ever been in its history, so people should be able to watch.
No doubt about it. Kyle, my man, appreciate you. I'm looking forward to this. Hopefully we can kind of try to do this on a weekly basis and get your thoughts on this Avs team and probably the ongoing saga if there is more news on the Altitude battle going forward.
Yeah, no doubt. I'll be following it every step of the way. Yeah, I'll be happy to hop on with you guys anytime.
All right, my man. There he is, Kyle Fredrickson, Colorado Avalanche beat writer at the Denver Gazette. Good stuff from him on this ongoing battle. And I would suggest you follow him, Kyle Fredrickson, at Twitter. So at Kyle Fredrickson on Twitter, I should say. All right, we'll take a short break. We got to crown a winner. We have a crown a winner of Top Text Tuesday. Who's it going to be? We'll find out in a few minutes. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
What's up, Hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
.152, wrapping up Tuesday's edition of the whole show here. We have to crown a winner of Top Text Tuesday. We got a $15 gift certificate coming your way, courtesy of Cables Pub and Grill. Angel? Let's see. I'm going to hook this guy up. Because it's also his wife's birthday. So we're going to, I mean, again, it's not just that, but it's the text. We're going Mysterio wins Top Text Tuesday. And it's a good text. It's not the camera guy's fault you ran into your own player to blow the game. I like that text. It's good. It's good. Mysterio, congratulations. Susan and Cheryl love that. Your $15 gift certificate will be available here at KFKA. And enjoy. You're two wins away now from getting the $50 gift certificate. We've got Dixon in the mix for this. Well, County Swami in the mix for this. Mysterio now in the mix for this. B-Rad still hasn't clinched that third win yet. So he's got two. He's the closest to it. Could he get the $50 gift certificate next week on our Top Text Tuesday? What's on the tube tonight? A lot of baseball playoffs. That's kind of the night for you. That's where you could put your focus. You've got Phil in Atlanta. Is Atlanta going to pull a comeback here? I mean, top of the sixth, it's 7-3. They've got a runner on second. We'll see. Seattle and Houston just started that game, and Seattle is already up 1-0. There's another underdog. And then Cleveland and New York, the Yankees, they go at it at 5:37 on TBS. And then on FS1 tonight, this is the one I'm obviously, and if you're a Rockies fan, I'm sure you're probably interested in this one. Padres and Dodgers at 7:37 on FS1. So, yeah. Who do you like in that one? Yeah, well, yeah, boo, they suck. I hate them. Division teams.
Being a Rockies fan, it's hard to root for either one of these teams.
But you got to root for the Padres.
You got to root for the Padres because, God forbid, the Dodgers win another title.
Are the Padres going to do this thing?
No.
I don't know. Not sure. I kind of thought Atlanta would be running around on running all over Philly at this point, but down 7-3.
Give it time.
Okay,
it's baseball. Anything can happen.
It's baseball. It's what Bud Black likes to say. Is Bud Black coming back next year? Does he want to come back next year? Why would he want to? I don't know. Closing thoughts. Analytics are not all the way ruining the NFL, but they're causing head coaches to overthink things to the point where we're just getting strange products on the field. However, in their defense, it's the rule changes that have happened in the NFL. The offensive production continues to go up, especially because of the rule changes, and these coaches are trying to find ways to take advantage of that. Tonight, we have Brew Talk on for you at 5 o'clock. I love that show. If you're a beer person, a beer fan, you can't miss that show. And then we have the UNC Coaches Show at 6 o'clock. See if Ed McCaffrey's crew can get things back on the right track this week as they get set to take on Montana State. That'll do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.